creation of the world to what? To be holy. So quick to say, I was chosen before the creation. This here, very clearly, we were chosen in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. Yeah? So he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he chose us. In love, he predestined us. The Greek word in the New Testament, the Greek word for it is hagios, which means most holy thing. So he chose each of you to be a most holy thing before him, blameless in his sight. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Ouch. I just wanted to give up at that point. I just don't need. Make every effort, two things. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Be a peacemaker. And what? To be holy. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The Greek word here is hagiosmos, which is the effect of consecration. The effect of consecration is sanctification of both the heart, which is the will and emotions, and your life, your body, your flesh, man. So it's the consecration of both your heart and your will, and the sanctification of this. Yeah? Two different things. So make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. I mean, just to live in peace with everyone is really hard, because we all think differently, we all are going in different directions. We, even politically, we're also different, you know. Some are this, some are that. We just choose not to talk about it. Hope it'll go away. But we're also different. The Bible says to love one another, to live in peace with one another. So we have to be proactive about how we can cultivate a spirit of peace among us. Yeah? And to be holy, for without it, we will not see the Lord. And I'm like, I want to see God move. I want to see his face. I want the dreams and visions. And it's very clear to hear, he says, be holy or you will not see me. You will not see me. So that's a challenge, I think, for us today, is if we're not seeing God, what is it we need to put into our lives? What is it we need to do? What is our responsibility before the Lord today so that we get to see, so that we get to feel, so that we get to experience and encounter? So it says here that this Greek word, hagiosmos, the effect of consecration is sanctification of both the heart, will, and emotion, and life. So I want to speak to you about sanctification. I remember when we were growing up, it was all this whole like talk about justification, predestination, sanctification, and we used to love, as young people, like throwing these big words around, you know, I've been justified by faith, just as if I never sinned. But we very rarely spoke about sanctification, because we were told, I was told as a Baptist, that I was already sanctified. I wasn't told that sanctification is an ongoing process. Yeah? So I want to speak to you a little bit about that today. Sanctify, a process of becoming consecrated, holy in heart and life. A process of becoming consecrated, holy in heart and life. So holy, again, that holiness. So we've got three senses to sanctification. The first sense is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification is a state of holiness once and forever. Separation of believers unto God. It's an act that is divinely performed by God. When you give your life to Christ, there's an act that is divinely performed by Jesus. When he took your sin on the cross and you say yes to him, there's a justification that happens to you. That's the first state of positional sanctification. It's something that you are already. You are justified as though you've never sinned before the Lord. It's a work that God performs, an intricate part of our salvation and connection with Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God in us? It is the righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. John 17:16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So when you give your life to Jesus, the Lord separated you positionally. So before, you're all part of the world. When he looked at you, he saw you as part of the world, outside of Jesus. When you give your life to Christ and you acknowledged him and you surrendered to him, he lifted you out of that position and he set you in another chair. He set you in kingdom position. He set you in a position that's called justification, which gave you the right to come before him because your sin was covered in the blood of Jesus. Yeah? So you could come onto Jesus, you could come right into the throne room of the Father, and he will see you as clean. He will see you as perfect. So your position changed from being in the world to being positionally justified in the kingdom of God. So when he looks at you now, he sees you as a justified, positionally sanctified. So that is your position in him. Yeah? Does that make sense? You're all looking a bit kind of... So Hebrews 10:10 says, and by that will, by his will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. When Jesus died, he did it once and for all. There's nothing else that needs to be done. He paid the price. He did it all. So when he's the only one that can lift you out of this position and set you over here. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And when you come into that kingdom, you're part of a family that is chosen, justified, and being made holy. Yeah? 2nd sense. So the first sense is positional sanctification. So when you give your life to Christ, you're positionally sanctified. You're positionally justified before the Lord. You're brought into kingdom. That is your position. Okay? In your spirit man, you're seated with Christ. 2nd sense is progressive sanctification. So this is an ongoing effect of obedience of the word of God in our lives. This is what we battle with every day. Yeah? Our progressive sanctification is what we struggle with. We struggle with our mind. We struggle with our choices. We struggle with our lives. We struggle with situations. This is our progressive sanctification. What's happening is God is working the life of Christ into you. So you have been made holy positionally, but he is making you holy in your character, in your lifestyle, in your mindset. You know, it's we have to have a change. To repent means to have a change of mind. It means to turn the other way. That's what it means. I was always taught repent means lie down on the floor and cry because you're a sinner. But it doesn't actually mean that you're going this way in your thoughts and your mindset and things that you believe, but actually saying, whoa, actually God, this is what you say, so I'm choosing to go this way with you. That is repentance. So progressive sanctification is an ongoing effect of obedience to the word of God in our lives. That's the word, this word of God in our lives, and the spoken, and the prophetic. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. So what are we growing? We are growing. So progressive sanctification is a process of growth. Yeah? If you look back to where you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for those that are saved, whatever years in the Lord, when you look back to where you are today, your life should be so different to when Jesus lifted you from darkness into light. We should be so much more like Jesus today than we were back then. Our character, how we respond to situations. Are we still getting offended? If we are, how quickly do we deal with it? What are the habits that we still hold on to? What are the things that we are grappling with that God's still trying to work with us on? What are those things he's bringing to your mind? Even now, what are those things? So it's the same as growing in the Lord or growing in spiritual maturity. It is our responsibility to pursue growth. Mm. Amen. So your progressive positional sanctification is God's job. Jesus, I surrender all. I'm lifting you out of darkness. I'm setting you into light. You're seated with me right now. You're at my right hand. You're here beside me. Progressive sanctification is the things that I struggle with. They're the things that I've got to battle through. They're the habits that I've got to win with the power of the Spirit in me. They're the things. I remember when I was trying to stop smoking a lot of years ago. It was such a battle because I didn't want to stop. There's nobody that smokes ever wants to stop smoking. I loved it. Smoked from when I was like 12. You know? And I battled with it for years and years. When I became a Christian, it was the one thing I used to feel. I can't read my Bible and smoke at the same time. And yet I felt that I could be in God's presence. Because I knew I was with him all the time and I could still smoke. But I felt I couldn't read the word and smoke. I felt I couldn't get intimate with God. Because why? Not because people said, because my heart was convicted. Because of the Spirit of God in me, he was calling me to holiness. And it took me such a long time to battle that one. And then you think, that's it, I'm totally perfect now. Because when that happens, you're like, that's the biggest thing in my life that can ever happen. And then you begin to realise, oh, there's other rings to this onion. And in my life, the onion seems to get bigger and smaller. You know? And it's like he deals with the outward things that we feel shame about first, doesn't he? He deals with that, the appearance, all those things that we think are important. And then he begins to go into the heart. And he begins to deal with our attitudes. He begins to deal with our responses. He begins to deal with our thought patterns. Those things that people can't see. The things that we can cover up well. Put a bit of paint on. And come in and smile. But we know the things that God is working in our lives. We know the things that he's calling us to progressively sanctify. And that's the battle of the journey between now and eternity. We are being progressive. We are positionally sanctified, which gives us the right to access the throne of God at any time. That's his mercy. That's his mercy. But if we want to see the Lord in a new way, we want to know the power of God and the authority of God, we have got to begin to walk in obedience to holiness. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do." Be holy in all that you do. Hebrews 12:14, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God." John 17:17-19, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." If you don't read this every day, if you don't make this your party time, your meal time, if you don't feast on this word, you have nothing to gauge your life by. And there's so many people that will hop from conference to conference or prophetic conference to waiting for a word from God. It's all in here. Everything you need for life is in here. The prophetic word of God always complements the written word of God.
Absolutely.
There is nothing that God will tell you prophetically that is not in here.
Absolutely.
And I think when we just take these words from people that are from the Lord, I mean, I love prophecy. I believe in it with all of my heart. But my thing is, when God gives you a word, what do you do with it? How does it change you? Do you forget about it before you go out and say, that was nice? Or do you wrestle with that word to see its completion? Do you listen to what God says to you? What he's saying, who he calls you to be, what he's asking you to do, the conditions. Things he's calling you to lay down or take up. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, why are we being made holy? I have sent them into the world, for I have sanctified myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Everything that Jesus did, he set the template for us. He was obedient to the Father. He was baptized, we get baptized. He was true to the word. He spent time with God. He withdrew to spend time with God, to spend time with that spoken word. He then set us the template of sanctifying his life of living a life. Can you imagine living a life as a human being without ever sinning? Without ever thinking a bad thought or a wrong thought? Without ever being angry at the wrong time? Without ever just messing up? Can you imagine? And being Christ, the battle that the enemy would have brought against him to cause him to sin, must have been such a battle for him right through. Because he gave up his ability to be perfect so that he could take on our flesh. He battled with all the same things. Wanting to belong, wanting to be popular, wanting to be loved. So our ability to grow spiritually and mature is affected by the application of the Word of God in our lives. The purpose of sanctification, progressive sanctification, it focuses on the separation of believers for the purpose for which they are sent into the world. We are different. We must recognize that we have been separated, and we must choose to be separated so that we can be effective. John 10:36. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Jesus set himself apart from God's purpose, for God's purposes, and by so doing set us the example to follow. You are sanctified and sent because that was God's plan revealed in Christ. As he says to you, as I have done, so you will do. Yeah, everything that I have and I have done, you will do greater things even. Sending and sanctification are inseparable. Therefore, we are called the sanctified ones. He calls us the sanctified ones. He prophesies over us. You are my chosen. You are the sanctified ones. What about the ones whom the Father set apart? You are set apart by God as his very own and sent into the world. You are set apart and you are sent. You are set apart and you are sent. So before you behaved like the world, separated from God, but now your behavior should be an example of your standing before a holy, hagios God and separate from the world, day by day being changed, transformed, and being made holy. Yeah? So positional sanctification, taken out, set in place, this is who I am, I'm going to go to heaven. So many people are content with just getting their ticket, but they miss out on the power, they miss out on the intimacy, they miss out on the presence of God. Who loves the presence of God?
Oh my gosh.
I love God's presence. Progressive sanctification, what am I battling today? How do I overcome this? What are the promises of God say? What does the Word say about this? How do I do this? Who can I talk to? Who can I get to pray with me about this? Who can I be accountable to for this? Yeah. Number three, complete sanctification. Who'd like that? Complete and utter, total. No battles anymore. When do we think that's going to happen? When Jesus comes back. Come on. Complete sanctification is the same state as glorification. It is your final destination, really, in your spiritual walk, to be glorified with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, the grace of peace, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Obviously once isn't enough. Yeah? We need it more than once. May he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants our spirit. Our spirit is born again of the Holy Spirit. Yeah?
Amen.
Our soul, which is our will and emotions, that's the one we struggle with. And our body, we struggle with. So the Lord says here, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? As we progressively become more like Jesus, as we walk in obedience and we're being made holy, how much more of Jesus will get into the world? How much more of Jesus will come to heal? If we think our roots deep down into holiness and being separated unto God, then the fruit that comes from our lives will be such healing for people around us. Yeah? Healing fruit. Paul speaks of Christ as the hope of glory and links the glorious appearing of Jesus to our personal glorification. What Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So number one, we are Gentiles. Yeah? We're not Jews, we're Gentiles. We've been taken from a pagan Gentile state to a sanctified Gentile state. And he is making known to us the glorious riches of his mystery, which is what? Christ in you. The mystery, the glorious riches of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in other words, without Christ in you, there's no hope of glory. Yeah?
Yes.
Without Christ in you, there's no hope for you. If you don't have Jesus, there's no hope. Colossians 1:28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Why do you think we stand up here week after week after week after week, waiting on Jesus for you guys, so that we can help bring you to maturity through truth of the word? Yeah? So, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. When he comes back, I want to be able to bring all you guys and say, hey, look at this bunch of sanctified holy rollers. Just look at them, Lord. Aren't they awesome? And these next verses will reflect our ultimate separation from sin and total sanctification. So this is working toward sanctification. Colossians 3, 4-10. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, what a promise right there. When Christ, who is what? Your life. So if he's not your life, then you're missing something big. When Christ, who is your life, appears, which he is going to do slowly all over the world so that every eye will see him. I don't think he's going to be in a rush. I think he'll suddenly appear. Like he's just going to cruise around so that everybody sees and everybody knows who he is. Everybody says, every eye will see. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what happens to us. When he appears, what happens to us? He gathers us up all around the world. Mm-hmm. And what happens then? Our progressive sanctification becomes total, complete glorification. Yeah? So all the things that we like miss out on, all the things that we haven't done, which he says to be perfect and be holy, but when Jesus appears, we rise up and we become glorified just like him. And then we come back as his army. We come back to rule and reign with him and to clean up the earth. Yeah?
Yeah.
To bring his kingdom rule. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. So you notice the first lot is like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. They're all the things that are very obvious to people. You see those in people's lives. And then he starts to go deep, doesn't he? Starts to go inward. Anger. Things we try to hide. Rage. Malice. What do we hold against people? Bitterness. Slander. Gossip. Filthy language. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. So we have a new self. We have taken off our old self and we have put on Jesus. Yeah? We have put on something new. We've put on something new. Positionally, we're new. But inside, he's changing us day by day by day so it all matches our position. So that when he comes back, then he takes it all and he makes it glorified just like him. I get excited. I'm like, I can't wait to see what we look like glorified. It's going to be amazing. So the ultimate goal is 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Come on. What we will be has not yet been made known. Everything that's in here that we get excited about in Revelation and Daniel, all the things that are yet to come, it's only a taste of what's coming. A little taster of what we're going to be. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that excite your heart? But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope, who has that hope that we're going to be like him? And we shall see him as he is. It says they purify themselves just as he is pure. There's always the challenge of our responsibility, the response, that divine exchange. God says, this is what I've done, I've chosen you. But I now need you to exchange that old life for what I've given you. I need you to let go and move into the more. So a few final thoughts. Sanctification is the translation of the Greek word hagiosmos, which means meaning holiness and separation unto God. In the past, God granted us justification, a once for all positional holiness in Christ. That was your past. Now, God guides you maturely through a practical, progressive holiness called sanctification of character and life. The Hebrews may have left Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Hebrews. So their position was they were free, but it took 40 years to get the effects of Egypt out of them, so they could walk into the glorification model. Yeah? So there's the doorway, and there's the journey, and there's the end result. It's a great journey. It's a great journey. The future, God will give us glorification, which will be a permanent, ultimate state of holiness. And I believe it's going to be like bliss, absolute blissful joy. Because we won't have any of the struggles of our mind that we have today. We won't have any of the struggles of all the stuff that goes on around us. It's going to be absolute bliss and joy. The three phases of sanctification separate the believer from 1, the penalty of sin. That was your justification. 2, the power of sin as you grow in maturity. That's your progressive sanctification. And the presence of sin, which is your glorification at the end. It's going to be awesome. We get saved when we believe in Jesus. We get free when we believe like Jesus. And we get empowered when we die to ourselves and live like Jesus. We're on a process, a journey. Celebrate your process. Every time you do something good, or you feel that you've made another move toward that step, celebrate it, you know? Today, I could have chosen to be offended, but I didn't. I didn't. Today, I could have chosen to diss someone, but I didn't. So it's all little things. Celebrate your successes in God. That's his testimony in your life. Yeah. Justified by faith, no longer sinners. Celebrate that you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. Being sanctified in maturity, power over sin. Celebrate that you have power over sin. Growing into glory unto glory, separated unto God. Celebrate that you're growing in glory each day unto perfect glory. Celebrate. Celebrate that you encounter God on a daily basis. Celebrate that you get to feel Him and experience Him. Celebrate that you are here, you're not here. Celebrate that your progressiveness was here and you're actually really over here now. Celebrate those moves. Celebrate your journey with Christ, because He celebrates you. Every little move you make, He celebrates. Every victory you win, He celebrates. Yeah. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have taken us from the world and that you have chosen us and that you have set us seated with Christ, that we are positionally, eternally seated with you. We thank you, Lord, that you by your Spirit are working the likeness of Jesus into us, so that when He comes, we will be like Him. That He will recognize us, that we will recognize one another. Thank you, Lord, that each day is a journey. Thank you that we can celebrate the successes that you win in our lives. Thank you that you've chosen us, that you've set us apart. Thank you that your love is upon us. Thank you that someday, Lord, you're coming and we're going to rise up and we're going to become just like you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we will rule and reign in a different way to how we do today.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we will see armies defeated in that day. We will see your kingdom rule in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, that your love will drive us forward. That your love covers a multitude of sins. We stand today, God, very aware that we may be justified before you, but there are so many things that we still have yet to overcome. And we ask you today, Spirit of God, that we thank you for power over sin on a daily basis. Thank you that we're progressively being sanctified and we're working toward being more like Jesus in every way. So Lord, I bless these ones that love you. I bless them to know you more. I bless them to know the inexpressible, unconditional love that you have for them. I bless them to know that in each struggle that you're there and that you're urging us forward, that you're covering them with mercy. So Father, we thank you for today, for your presence and goodness. Thank you for the power of your word to transform us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.